Well, good morning. Heartily welcome to everyone that has tuned in. It's a joy to have this opportunity to get together and worship, even though it is not the way we used to, but we can still go online and worship together. Today is Epiphany, a day that we remember when Jesus was revealed to the world and to the heathen. And so may the grace of God be with you and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace this morning and we thank you. We thank you for this beautiful morning that you have given unto us. We also thank you for your grace. We have just passed through a year 2020 and come into a new year of 2021. You have extended your grace all the way, and you are still extending it every morning anew. And Lord, we pray that we will not fall away from your grace, but that we will constantly live in grace and in fellowship with you. We also pray that you be with our government and this country, because they are protecting us and they are providing for us. We also pray that you be with them, because they have lots of opposition in their decisions, what they do. And we pray that you stir their hearts, that they will seek after you and make decisions according to your knowledge and your wisdom, that they will do the right things for whatever is right for this country. We also pray for the sick, the lonely, and those that are grieving for their lost one, our loved one, that they have lost in the last year. We also pray for those that are heavy-hearted, those that have no peace in their heart, that you may be with them and give them peace and freedom. We also pray that you be with all those that are out there and proclaiming your word. We also pray that you be with us here this morning, and that you may guide me and give me strength to speak boldly the word of the truth that you have given to us. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I have chosen to talk about the story of the wise men out of Matthew chapter 2. At first, what I will do is I will read Matthew chapter 2, 1 to 18, and then later on I will lecture a little bit on that portion of Scripture. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for this is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word that I may come and worship him also.' When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star of which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.' When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it may be fulfilled which was spoken of by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt have I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise man, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, ritual weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. So far the scriptures. Now when we look at the wise men, we see that we don't have much information about the wise men, how many there were. I know in the High German it says about three, but we don't know for sure where they are from and how many there were. We just know that they presented three gifts. I know in Psalm 72, we read about three kings, and I was always told that that was why we celebrate the it is the three kings. But in Psalm 72, verse 10, we read, the king of Tarshish and of the isles of shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Zeba shall offer gifts. So here it's mentioned that there's three kings that shall offer gifts. And down in verse 15, it says, And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. So here we see that it talks about the three kings, but we have no word in the New Testament that there were only three kings or three wise men, which is not important. The only thing that is important to us is that we know that there were wise men that came from a different country that came to worship. They came from afar off and yet had a longing to see the newborn king of the Jews. We can see the example here, even if we are far off, that there is a way to seek the Savior. It doesn't matter where we are in our life, there is still a chance that we can go and seek him. I know nowadays we will rather think that Jesus has to find us, but yet the scripture tells us that seek him while he may be found. And I believe that it is our duty to go in scripture and diligently seek who God is and what he demands of us. If we seek him, he will be found. When we think about the wise men, it is an indication of all the world falling down and worshiping Jesus, because these came from a far off country. They were not from Judah, but they came off from a far off country, and they came and they worshiped Jesus. We can read in Philippians 2:10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, all things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. We can bow before him now and repent and accept him as our Savior, or we will bow before him as our judge. It's so important that we do this like the wise men did. They came and they seek and they bow down and they presented him with gifts. They bow down and worshiped him. We can do that as well. We can worship him today and prepare ourselves for the coming of Jesus Christ, that when he will come the second time, that we will be glad and welcome him, that now we will be lifted up into his presence. That is the reason why God has given us the time to live here on earth, to prepare for eternity, to the day when Jesus will come, that we can meet him and be with him forever, because he has gone home to prepare a place for us, so that where he is, he wants that we should be there also. The other thing we can look at is the wise men. They might have been of the descendants of Jew that remained in Babel when King Nebuchadnezzar took them hostage in 605 BC. And they would have known the predictions of the Messiah coming from the Old Testament. And they have been waiting, still being faithful to the Lord. Because we know when we read through Daniel, that Daniel and three of his friends, and the same when we read in Esther, Mordechai, he was still a faithful Jew. He would not bow down to anything else but to God. And so they kept themselves in the will of God. Or they might have been of the descendants of Abraham. We read in Genesis chapter 25. In Genesis chapter 25, first verse 1, that this is after Sarah had died, Abraham's first wife. After she had died, he married again. It says in verse 1, then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. So, and she bore him some children as well. But then in verse 5 and 6, we read, and Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac, but unto the sons of the concubines which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts and sent them away from Isaac, his son, while he yet lived, eastward unto the east country. So here we see that Abraham, he sent the other sons away from him and from Isaac into the east countries. So if these wise men were descendants of Abraham, it could very well be, because we read in Genesis 18, verse 19, this is when God came down to bring the promise to Abraham that Sarah would bear a child, and Abraham entertained him with a meal at the front of his house. And then when God was ready to go to Sodom and Gomorrah and check if the crying out there was as bad as what he had heard, the crying had been, he said, can I withhold from Abraham what am I going to do? Now verse 19, he says, for I know him that he will command his children in his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he had spoken of him. So here we see that God himself says that Abraham will teach his children after him. Now, if Abraham had taught these and told them why they could not have the why they could not have not be heirs of with Isaac, there was the reason, because Isaac was the promised son, and out of Isaac was going to come the Messiah, the Savior. This would have been almost 2,000 years before Jesus was born, and yet it could have lived on, because God says that his word will not return void. It will prosper, and it will bring what it's sent for. It will bring fruit. When we look at the wise men, they traveled many miles to come and worship Jesus. This is so different from today. Today, we expect God to come and look for us, to explain himself, prove who he is, and give us gifts. But wise men today will still seek and worship Jesus, not for what they can get, but for who he is. When I think about, I just have to look in my own life, all my life, when I think about even my prayers always have been more about blessings than about help me to be a vessel for you, help me to go and tell other peoples what you have done for me. My prayer always has been more for protection and for blessings than for anything else. And yet these wise men, they came and they gave, and they spent their time to go and seek for Jesus and worship. But they also went to Herod the king and asked him, so that he would be aware that there was a king born. When we look on they said, we have seen a star in the east. In Genesis 1:14, right in the beginning, when God created everything, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. We see right in the beginning that God said that the star would be there for signs, and the star that appeared was not an ordinary star. And we also see in Daniel 2, when Nebuchadnezzar had his dream, that the first thing he did is he was asking for the magicians and astrologers and sorcerers. They were supposed to tell him the dream and tell him the meaning, because Nebuchadnezzar had forgotten the dream. So now he demanded of them that they were supposed to tell him the dream and the meaning of the dream. So we see that in the East, it was a practice that there were stargazers, you would say. Like they would constantly watch the stars. And maybe these men were the ones that they were involved with that. They were watching the stars. And they saw there was one star that was different. And so they decided to come and look for it. We also read in Numbers 24:17, we read of Balaam prophesying, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So here he's saying that there shall come a star out of Jacob. He's prophesying this over 1,400 years before the wise men came and followed the star. So we see that there is some in the scripture that we can see that they have, that has been predicted, prophesied before it happened. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 3, when Herod the king had heard these things, was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And it's very interesting that he was so troubled. When we look in Luke 2:17, it says, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. So here we see that it was roughly about 2 years later, and they were all troubled because they what these wise men now were saying. But the shepherds had told everybody that they met what they had heard about this child. And when I look at this here, I would like to share a story about years ago. When I was a young married man, there was an older man. He shared this story that he had borrowed money from a richer man and had promised him to pay back in a year. But now it was 13 years already, and he had not paid this man. And he was always troubled when he heard the name of this man, or when he saw this man, he tried to do whatever he could to avoid meeting with him. Until one day he had been with a group of men, and they had talked about, and then one man had quoted Psalm 37, verse 21, where it talks about the ungodly will borrow and never pay back, and not repay. And he was struck by that because he thought he was a Christian, and now he realized that Psalms was quoting that the ungodly will borrow and not repay, but he had not repaid. So that week he went and he paid back the old man where he had borrowed all the money. And he said, after I had paid him, we became friends. And when he shared the story, I just thought about this is exactly how it is with us and Jesus. We as men, we have a debt that we cannot pay. And we know that we have to do something about it. But so many, instead of doing something about it, they try to avoid the name of Jesus. Whenever they hear the name of Jesus, they're troubled because they know in their heart that there is a thing that needs to be dealt with, but they have not dealt with it. And whosoever deals with it and goes to Jesus and asks for forgiveness, he receives forgiveness, and Jesus becomes his friend. So friends, if you are one of those that are troubled by the name of Jesus or by the gospel, I would really encourage you, just go to Jesus and ask him to forgive you all your sins and all your friend. You can have a relationship with him and with the Father. For Jesus himself, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but through me. We can reject Jesus, but if you reject Jesus, we cannot go to the Father. In my mind, there's nothing more awful than to know that being in hell and knowing that all my life I had the opportunity to reconcile with Jesus so that I could go to heaven, but I did not. Now, in all eternity, to stay away from him, I don't think that there's anything more awful than knowing that we could be saved and we did not accept it. We read further on, he says, Herod the Great was named king of Judah by the Roman Senate in 37 BC and died most likely in 4 AD. So if he has died in 4 AD, that would just indicate that Jesus has been for 2 years in Jerusalem or in Egypt. He was a descendant from the tribe of Esau, an Edomite, and did not welcome the news that the king of the Jews was born in Bethlehem. Herod did not have the right to the throne, because he was not of the lineage of King David. Many of the Jews would redeem. Many of the Jews did not like him, even though he had greatly improved the temple building. The Jews expected that Jesus would redeem them from the Romans. In Luke chapter 24, verse 21, we read, and here this is where the two men were on their way to Emmaus, and Jesus all of a sudden came in the midst of them. And then this is what they said. They said, but we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. So here we see that the Jews, they were expecting that when Jesus would come, they would give them prosperity and redeem them from the oppression of the Romans in this life. They did not see him as to come as a redeemer and a savior for eternal life. Also, when we read in Acts 1 verse 6, and this is just before Jesus went back to heaven, before his ascension, when the disciples came to him and he said, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? We see here again, they asked if Jesus would restore the kingdom to Israel. Now, if Herod has known this, what the Jewish expectation was of the king that would be coming, then no wonder that King Herod felt that his throne was in danger. We read on and it says, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. The chief priests and the scribes knew what Micah 5 said, so they could tell Herod the truth, but they themselves did not accept him as the Son of God. Later on, we see the high priests and the elders were gathered and wanted Jesus to be crucified because he was the Son of God. This was only about 31 to 32 years later. So when we look at this, some of these must have been the same that will still remember what had happened here when Jesus was born. 31 to 32 years later, roughly, they were gathering together and they were planning to get rid of Jesus. They wanted Jesus to be crucified. I'm sure there were still some that would remember the massacre of the children, when all the children had to be killed. But they did not want the king. In John 19, verse 15, we read, Pilate said unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king but Caesar. So we see they rejected their king. They did not want the king. They wanted Caesar. They wanted a ruler, but not a king that would rule their lives. Now when Herod had privately called the wise men when they had seen the star in the east, he sent them to Bethlehem. But Herod had no plan to go and just worship Jesus the way the wise men had. He had already in his mind that he would kill Jesus, because he was not ready to accept that there would be a king over him. And when they departed, they saw the star and it went before them to where the young child was. So we see that the star guided them right to the right place where this child was. And it is the same today. We will not be misled if we honestly and truly go and seek for Jesus and seek forgiveness for our sins. We will be led to the right place, to the right time, and we will be able to get reconciled with God through Jesus Christ. It goes on, it says, they went into the house and fell down and worshipped him, and they presented gifts unto him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When we look at what the wise men brought, we see that it had value in something that cost them. I believe that we should do the same thing, honor Jesus for who he is and being willing to give to him what is valuable to us, ourself. So often we find it so hard to give up ourself for Jesus. But that is what he is demanding. He is demanding that we are denying ourselves and come and follow him. Take up our cross daily and come and follow him. We see that gold is a gift for a king, and Jesus is a king of kings. He is the king of kings. Myrrh was used in the Old Testament to anoint priests, also used on the altar for offerings, was put on there as a sweet-smelling savior. And so it's just the sweet, a sign of the sweet news that we have now that Jesus has come and to redeem us. And also, myrrh was something that was used for healing and for pain. When we look at this, we see that Jesus is the Redeemer. He can heal all our wounds, our hurts, and our griefs. No matter what has happened to us, he can help us and he can heal us. We see that the wise men were warned of God in a dream not to go back to Herod. And when the wise men had departed, the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream to go to Egypt till I bring thee word. They left for Egypt. It was roughly about 75 miles to travel for them. But it says that he got up at night and he started traveling and he went to Egypt. And Hosea 11 verse 1, it says, when Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt. So here we see the last part. It says, he called my son out of Egypt. But when Israel was a child, they were also taken into Egypt because of a threat of famine that there was no food in the land of Canaan where they dwelt. So they moved to Egypt so that they would be able to stay alive. And that is where God later on called them out, the same as he did his son. When Herod saw that the wise men had not followed his command, he was very angry and commanded that all children in Bethlehem and surrounding area 2 years and younger should be killed. I cannot imagine to watch the killing of young children. It is a sad story when we look at it, that all the young children 2 years and younger had to be killed just because Herod was troubled that the king was supposed to be born. But we see that the world had no room for his birth, and the world did not want him. He had to hide. With that which was, it was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, would not be comforted because they are not. That was prophesied from Jeremiah 31:15 years before. Sometimes I have been thinking about this, like God's ways are not our ways, but God could have easily protected Herod that he could not have killed all these children, but yet it was prophesied before and it had so to happen. Now, when I look at this, none of these children that were killed at this time were at the cross mocking Jesus. But a lot of the Jewish people were. When I think about today in the world, I think about it like how many children are not pointed to Jesus Christ as children, and how many parents, when their children get older and their children all of a sudden they accept Jesus Christ, their children are not welcome in their home because they have now become friends with Jesus. Now they cannot be friends with their parents. We see here, it is an indication what happened in the future. Jesus had to hide. Christians were killed. Now, our children were killed. Now today, we see that many Christians are killed in the world because they have accepted Jesus Christ. Jesus is in heaven watching what is going on. It is so important that we teach our children from young what it means to be saved and that Jesus is the Savior of the world. We know that our children have to make their own decisions. God has no grandchildren. He has only children. Everyone individually has to come and fall down before Jesus and repent of his sins, accept him as his Savior, and be born again into the family of God. We cannot do it for our children. They have to do it themselves. We read that Herod was a ruthless ruler. Because of his many enemies, he was suspicious that someone would try to overthrow him on his throne. he had two of his own sons killed and one of his wives. We see that it's always at the expense of the innocents when men are striving for power in this world. It is still that way today. When men try to hang on to power, they are feared that when the Christians will take over, they will lose their power, which is not the truth. Because if we are accepting Jesus Christ, that is when all the power is coming to us. Because Jesus says, all power and dominion is given to me in heaven and in earth. Many people do not follow Jesus because they want to follow their own agenda and therefore neglect Jesus' calling. He is calling today, when you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Repent and ask him to forgive and accept him as your personal Savior and Lord. That would be my plea to everyone that's listening. If you have not made this decision yet, do it today. Go to Jesus, confess your sins, ask him to become your Savior, that he will lead you into eternal life. Then Jesus makes it very clear, whosoever does not have the Son does not have the Father, and whosoever does not have the Son does not have life. Jesus came to give life, and that he wanted to give us abundantly, according to John 10. So my encouragement to everyone would be, don't linger out there not knowing for sure where to go and what to do. Don't go into this new year if you have not made that choice. Make it today and move on and rejoice in the Lord forever. Let's bow for prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace and for your love and your blessings. They are so bountiful. They cannot be measured. They cannot be counted. You have blessed us so richly with earthly possessions, but you have blessed us with so many spiritual blessings and heavenly places. And we thank you for it. We also thank you for this country where we can live and worship you freely. We also thank you for your word, and we thank you for your Son Jesus, who was willing to die on the cross so that all sins can be forgiven. Lord, we ask that you may stir the hearts of many that are not come to Jesus yet, that they will come and repent and accept your gift that you have given us through your Son. We also pray for those that are persecuted in the other countries. Be with them, protect them, and comfort them. Don't let anyone be fallen away that Satan will be proud that he has won. No, Lord, help us all that we stay steadfast and strong in your word and in words and in words to other people. We pray your blessings upon this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Now I would like to thank you all for listening and for praying. It's so important that we always remember each other in prayer, for we know that the times are not as they used to be. We don't know when it will return back to normal. I guess as soon as this COVID thing will be over, we will be able to go back to normal. But for now, let's lift up each other in prayer to God, and don't forsake that we are still assembling, not the way we used to, but we can still watch and listen to the Word of God online. Now, I'd like to bless you with the benediction, which we find in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. And may you walk in the peace of the Lord. Thank you. God bless you.